Welcome along to another episode of The Sweet Spot, brought to you by The Racing Post in association with SBK, betsbk.com, of course, for all your golf betting. I'm Dave Clark. He is Steve Palmer, a golf punting and tipping extraordinaire, and also a top man on the snooker as well, Steve. You've been giving everyone a steer the last couple of weeks and back of the net last night.
Well, I thank the Lord for the snooker because the golf didn't go well. You know, we scraped a tiny return from Sam Burns in the Byron Nelson, but yeah, the snooker saved the day. You know, Zhao Xing Tong, I struggle to say his name, but you know, what a player. And yeah, we can look to the future with confidence now with Zhao Xing Tong because, you know, I think he's going to win everything from here. Yeah, I'm excited about other sports, to be honest. Yeah, the golf remains difficult and we do our best on golf, but I think snooker is going to be easy now, Dave. I think darts is easy because... I think darts is easy because of Luke Littler. So, I mean, yeah, I'm imagining a life with the Zhao Ting Tong, Luke Littler double, just, you know, making punting life easy.
Well, listen, betting and tipping on golf is tough, and so is playing it. And I'm hoping that producer Ben can work some magic here. We have a little bit of footage, compliments of a mutual friend of ours, from your golfing exploits last week at Wentworth. I think we've got two or three swings, quite questionable finishes and follow-throughs there, Steve. What was going on?
Well, it was my first round of the year. Yeah, I was a bit edgy on the first round of the year and just I go from the sublime to the ridiculous. All I want to talk about is the 15th hole. I parred the 15th hole at Wentworth West, which is stroke index one, I believe. I parred 13, I parred 15. I had a packet of peanut M&Ms, Dave. I think this is the key. I had a big grab bag of peanut M&Ms. On the 12th green, scoffed them all down on the 12th green, played the 13th amazing, played the 15th amazing. I think I might be a diabetic or something. I don't know, but that injection of peanut M&M really got me going. I played some good golf, but yeah, obviously lots of bad golf as well.
Well, you're not alone. I played myself on Saturday and I was struggling to keep it in play off the tee. I would always welcome you and encourage you to like, comment and subscribe here on the Racing Post YouTube channel. Do also, in the comments, recommend who I should go and have lessons with in Essex. If you know anyone, I'm in desperate need, particularly off the tee. Once I'm on the dance floor, not a problem, rolling it like a dream, but I couldn't keep it in play. So I've decided, Steve.
You pot them in the old, don't you? You get down on your knees.
Yes, that's it. I've decided that I need to take in a lesson or two just to sort me. I'm all over the place, so... If anyone could recommend someone in Essex, I'm happy to travel. It's not a problem. Jot it in the comments, as well as let us know how you got on with your golf bets and who you're backing this week as well. We'll get on to all of that. But yeah, my game is in desperate need. We are here, of course, courtesy of our friends SBK. Jump onto their website, betsbk.com. They've got the Bet 10, Get 30, new customer offer for you. Open an account, have a £10 wager, and you'll get £30 in free bets. Terms and conditions apply. It's all on the website as well. 18 plus gamble aware. Right, we're going to look back, Steve, before we look forward. We've got three events to preview. Before we get to Scotty shooting the lights out, Beefy Bryson, back in the winner's enclosure. First win since the 2024 US Open. He mentioned he was a little bit nervous in his interview afterwards about the fact that he'd sort of been struggling to get over the winning line. Yeah. I would have just been nervous about the prospect of a juicy $4 million check, but it was just about winning the event.
Well, that's it. Yeah, I think he's rich enough not to worry about the money now, but I think a much-needed win psychologically. As you say, he's been letting a lot of winning chances slip, hasn't he? He led LIV Miami for a long way. He was leading the Masters with 16 holes to play, lest we forget. He was leading LIV Mexico for 48 holes. And then dominated last week until Charles Howell, of all people, come up. You know, it was great to see Charles Howell, you know, a real blast from the past for us. But he was a rag last week in LIV Korea and a teammate of Bryson DeChambeau's, of course. You had two crushers going down the line together. So they're tied with two holes to go. And then DeChambeau finishes birdie. So, yeah, I think that was a significant win for Bryson and... Yeah, we're set up for an amazing USPGA now. I mean, you must be getting so excited about the USPGA.
Well, and my man Rory's back in action this week as well. So yeah. I'm buzzing
with
all
the big guns. Look at all the big guns.
The tips last week. Now, Louis Oosthuizen was up there He was hovering around the leaderboard for a long time.
Well, he gave us a bit of early excitement. Yeah, he went from 66 to 1 to 10 to 1 after one round. So he was a shot behind after the first round, but then stalled over the weekend. So, yeah, disappointed with Oosthuizen's weekend. But, I'm just very excited about the future, Dave. I think, you know, Bryson DeChambeau is in top form. You mentioned your man Rory. I mean, obviously, it's been in exceptional form. Scotty Scheffler now has found his A game. He put it all together last week for the first time. We'll come to the Byron Nelson. Justin Thomas playing so well. I mean, I can't remember a major where all the big guns are firing going into it. And yeah, DeChambeau is a significant runner, because I'll give you a stat that will stun you, Dave. He tops the scrambling stats on the LIV circuit this year. So, you know, his driving is spectacular. He's never driven the ball better. His driving is jaw-droppingly good, but he's also scrambling well. And you know, he's always been an underrated putter. So DeChambeau's putting it all together. We've got him in our majors acca for the US Open. And the place return of that's still running, because Scheffler finished fourth in the Masters. So, yeah, we might get a place return from the majors acca the way things are going.
How far out are we, Steve, from that off the top of your head?
US Open, that'd be in June. Yeah, we're about a month away from the from the US Open. We've got the USPGA next week. And as I say, it's building up into one heck of a tournament at Quail Hollow.
Yeah, it's all, they're coming thick and fast. Thick and fast. In terms of the livers, anything else to add? You know, Bryson back in the winner's enclosure. What happened to DJ?
DJ mid-division, yeah. Too many double bogeys in round one.
Is it time to abandon that ship, or are you keeping
faith? He made loads of birdies. He had a couple of horror holes. I mean, with the live events, 54 holes there, I mean, they're sort of sprints, aren't they? You can't afford any sort of bad round. So once he put two early doubles on the card, it was curtains for DJ. But the live event was disappointing. I mean, apart from Charles Howe, he's always I've always had a soft spot for Charles Howe, and he looked like he was done for. He had a leg injury, he was off for 3 months. Great to see him back playing golf last week. 150-1 runner up. So we'll keep an eye on Chucky Three Sticks going forward.
Very good. Right, let's move on then, shall we, to, as I mentioned, Scotty shooting the lights out. Now, there was all sorts, and I mean all sorts of records being broken here, Steve. So I won't go into all of them. I did see an incredible stat. I think Scotty Scheffler had played 11 par fives, and he was 14 under par. He hadn't had a single par on any of the par fives. It had been birdie or eagle. This was just incredible on another planet golf.
Well, absolutely. He matched the scoring record for 72 hole total. He was very close to breaking that. It was an absolute masterclass. You know, I had no interest in him at the odds. You know, I thought he would get edgy if it got close, because he was keen to end this victory drought. But it never looked like getting close, did it? I mean,
it wasn't close.
It was. He opened with a 61, followed up with a 63. It was like computer game golf, wasn't it? You know, laser like approaches. It's like he was playing a game, and then every putt he looked at went in, didn't it? I mean, how well did he putt last week? You know, when Scheffler's putting well, then he's obviously, he often wins when he putts well. And 31 under par in the end. He had to play one hole in the dark. You know, it was a weather interrupted event. He had one hole at the end of round three where basically playing in the dark. I mean, but he had such control of his ball. I think he could have played the whole event in the dark and, shot well under par. Really exciting. Yeah, well done to favourite backers. Who kept it simple there. I was after a bit more in the price, but just really exciting for this USPGA. You know, my appetite couldn't have been whetted more. But by all these great players coming good at the right time.
So, like, as a fickle golf punter myself, would I be like, oh, he's back now? Like, he's back being like the man to beat. He's just phenomenal again. You know, is that where we're at?
Well, he just hasn't put it all together, is he, this season? Right. There's been parts of his game that have been brilliant, but that was the first time. I mean, you could say his chipping was a little bit off last week, but everything else was just absolutely perfect. And, it's an event that meant a lot to him. You know, he was shedding tears afterwards, because it was his first ever PGA Tour event, the Byron Nelson. Obviously, it's close to home. Meredith was there. Baby Bennett was there. They're all in attendance. And, that was a great weight off his shoulders to get the first win of the year. And I think he's got his USPGA preparation spot on. I mean, the fact we got a signature event this week, PGA Tour signature event this week, then the USPGA. Scheffler's the only one of the elite that's skipping this week's event.
Yeah.
You know, use the Byron Nelson as a warm-up and then gets a week off before the USPGA. I think Scheffler's preparation is better than every other member of the elite for the USPGA. So, it will start favourite next week. There was humming and ahhing over whether it would be McIlroy or Scheffler as favourite for the USPGA. I think Scheffler will probably edge it now.
What if McIlroy this week wins by 20?
Well, this is it. This is why my appetite is so whetted. Because you've got big guns just firing on all cylinders, isn't you?
And, in terms of the rest of the field, Jordan Spieth showed up quite well, I suppose.
Yeah.
It's almost like a betting heat without the favourite, without the winner. They're all much of a muchness in behind. Ever anything catch or anyone catch your eye, Steve?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he closed with a 62, Jordan Spieth, for fourth place. And, that'd be really heartwarming for his fans. I mean, he's going for the career Grand Slam next week. You know, we've just had Rory McIlroy complete the career Grand Slam. In the very next major, we have a chance of Jordan Spieth doing likewise. They're like bosses, these career Grand Slams. Throw him into the mix. I've already mentioned all the big guns. You know, Jordan Spieth, yeah, is he a runner for next week? So, I think you've got all the stars of a line for a magnificent USPGA. Sam Burns closed with a 65. You know, as I say, tied fifth with about a million players, seven other players. Tied fifth is seven other players. So if you back them each way 12 places, you've got a full place return. That is possible these days, but most people would have had their return cut into there. But an interesting event. One of the most exciting golf tournament we've ever seen, was it? Because Scheffler just made it over at the halfway stage.
Well, I'd love to, put in the comments, if anyone kept the faith with Scheffler, let us know. And also let us know when you were spending the money. Was it after the first round? Like, because was you following the I'm sure you can't cast an eye on it. I didn't look at the outright odds, Steve. I just kind of, well, that's that then. What sort of price was he after the first round,
Oh, he was 12s on very, very quickly. The odds on very quickly, and then just shortening and shortening. It was no offers by. It was just bonkers, wasn't it? I mean, it's very rare that you'll see. I mean, looking at the prices going into the final round, and I think it was 200 to 1 was the biggest price of anyone else going into the final round. You know, Erik van Rooyen was 200 to 1. And he's set in second place. I mean, you hardly ever see that. It's such an unusual event. And then when you're Erik van Rooyen, your task on Sunday is to shoot a really low round and hope that Scottie Scheffler's putter suddenly goes cold. And van Rooyen,
I think
you've
got more chance of him losing it than it going cold, yeah.
Well, van Rooyen did his part of the job. He shot 63, so that would give him a chance if Scheffler has a bad day at the office. But Scheffler carded 63 as well, so... Yeah, that was pure dominance. And as I say, I think Scheffler's preparation for the USPGA is spot on. It's quite, he's not wasn't a regular at Quail Olin in the Wells Fargo Championship, so I don't know whether he'd be my man for that, but we shall see. We've got a lot of elite players playing this week we need to keep a close eye on.
We have. Was you able to follow all the action, Steve? I think, if I remember rightly, you told us you was flying solo the weekend, so was you just engulfed and ingrained in the golf?
I caught plenty. I caught plenty of all sports, actually. Lots of golf, lots of snooker, following the darts from Germany on the flash score. And I even caught a football match, watched Arsenal against Bournemouth for some crazy reason. But that's the beauty of being a single man for the weekend. You can do these things, but.
It was a bachelor pad for one weekend only.
It was, and the cyclone made it a great weekend. Yeah, the cyclone Zhao Jingchong, what a man
indeed. Is this the start of you sort of backing him every year in doubles with Luke Littler?
Yeah, I think every time you can have that double, it's going to be worth taking it. I think these two are a class above. I mean, you must have been disappointed with Judd Trump, because he gets to the semi-finals looking good, but then. Yeah, you know, he's got a psychological problem with getting this second world title now, hasn't he? But
I was hoping that Ronnie O'Sullivan beat Zhao Xingtong, because I fancied Trump to beat O'Sullivan more than I did Zhao Xingtong, but he didn't get to the final himself anyway.
I thought Ronnie might retire after that. I think he might retire after that. It's sort of like a changing of the guard, if you will.
You can't change your tip and your ferrule. That's just madness. But there we go. Right, shall we look forward then, Steve? So we've got three tournaments to get stuck into. Right, we're going to start with the Turkish Open, which was last staged in 2019. I think I've got that right, the eighth running of it. Where's it been?
We had COVID. It used to be part of the final series, and now it's shunted much higher up the schedule. We're at the Regnum Carrier, Antalya, Turkey. 7,220 yards, par 71, three par fives. This course hosted this event from 2016 through 2018. Thorbjørn Olesen won the first one here. Justin Rose won back-to-back triumphs in 2017-2018. The course runs through a pine forest, tight fairways. Water comes into play on eight holes. And lots of heather here that they planted when they designed the course. They wanted it to resemble like the English heathland courses. So loads of heather to avoid as well. We got large, fast greens, very undulating. Accuracy, the key to success. Sunny, warm and calm. A field of 156 going to post.
Okay, market-wise, Hao Tong Lee is our market leader. Jordan Smith, Wenyi Ding, one of Steve's mates, is up there. Sam Bairstow, Juice Luton, Matthew Jordan. Very, very competitive. This is what I love a golf market to look like. It's sort of 14, 16 to 1 the field. Each way a plenty, wherever you're going, even if you're back in the jolly. How many in the team for the Turkish?
We got six at massive prices. This is a wide open event. I've got a speculative stake in plan.
Okay, right. All at massive prices, or is there like one that's a bit shorter and then...
No, all big prices.
Okay, we're not playing games. I love the sound of that. Right, I'll have to get my fingers and toes out this week then. right, number one selection is then...
John Parry, the highest ranked player in the field, being massively disrespected in the market. This is a 38-year-old at the peak of his powers. He got his first DP World Tour win as a young man in 2010. His second one came just before Christmas in the Mauritius Open. He's won three times on the Challenge Tour last year. So he really has reached a peak in his late 30s. Such a steady player now. Injury problems all behind him. Neat and tidy. Always been a really good putter. I think this week's layout is ideal for him. So it's tight from tee to green, not too long, large, slopey greens. You know, good putters will thrive this week. I think he'll threaten his first victory of the year. He was runner-up in the Kenya Open, you might remember, at the end of February. That was another test of accuracy. And he'll fear nobody in this lineup. As I say, the highest-ranked player on the field, but that's not remotely reflected in the market.
Neat and tidy. Okay, I think that's probably going to be the theme throughout here. But he is the number one pick. So one down, five to go. Who else we got, Steve?
Jaden Schaper, who may finally be ready for a DP World Tour breakthrough. He's 24 now. We've been following on the sweet spot for years. A neat and tidy golfer. We billed him as the next Bernhard Langer many moons ago. He's going to have to start winning titles soon to live up to that early promise. He was fifth in the Qatar Masters in February, fourth in the Kenya Open I mentioned, ninth in the Joburg Open, missed the cut by a shot in his last two events. Don't worry, this week's layout is perfect for him. He's accurate, good on the greens. So yeah, another juicy price, and they get bigger from here.
Oh, okay. Juicier the better. Who else we got?
Oh, I got a lot of juice for you this week, Dave. Kazuma Kabori, a rising star of the DP World Tour. He's 23. He's already won four times on the Australasian Tour. The first of them was when he was still an amateur. He won the Australasian Tour Order of Merit last year. Now he's on the DP World Tour and he settled really quickly. Four top 25 finishes. Ninth in the Singapore Classic at the end of March. 20th in the China Open. He's accurate. He putts well. I think he's made for this assignment.
Marvellous. Next on the list.
Martin Kuvre. Yes, Martin, a player we've been following since he came onto the DP World Tour. He won on the Challenge Tour in his first season on that circuit, 2023, so quickly showed he was too good for the Challenge Tour. Now he's hunting a DP World Tour breakthrough. He finished seventh in the Alfred Dunhill Championship just before Christmas, fourth in the Bahrain Championship in February, fifth in Qatar, fifth last time out in the Heineken Classic. He's a straight hitter. He's in terrific nick. He's a 22-year-old that's improving all the time. I expect him to contend a fancy prize.
Four down, two to go. Who else we got?
Marcus Kinholt. Another neat and tidy operator. We are very tidy this week, Dave. This is what you need for this assignment. You're a neat and tidy dresser, and you know, Marcus Kinholt is a neat and tidy golfer. Very accurate when on his game, which at the moment he's playing well. Always been strong on the greens. Brilliant at a young age, a prodigy, if you will. He won the British Masters in 2019. He's had health problems since. He's fit again now. He's a 28-year-old, well up to winning this. He was second in the KLM Open last year, second in the Dunhill Championship last year, 15th in the China Open last month. This week's venue, new to most of this week's field, Dave, but Kinholt finished 30th in the 2018 Turkish Airlines Open here. He carded a pair of 68s at the weekend that year. He returns this week full of confidence. Missed cut last time out on a Bombers Paradise Highland Classic. Don't worry about that. He'll realise that that course wasn't for him. Very easy to forgive. You're much better on this type of track.
That is a name that I've backed Kinholt many a time. If you go back 5-6 years ago, I was backing him all the time.
Yeah.
Steve, what have been the health issues there?
I was backing him a decade ago. I mean, I remember he was 17 and he was leading the Nordea Masters, and I think I was on him at a nice price. He had the world at his feet. He had some epilepsy issues, actually, Dave. He had health problems. He had no real injury problems. It's been health issues with that. But he seems to be back to his best now. He finished second twice last year. So enormous price on a course which suits.
Okay, and the final player then?
Another accurate Swede to complete the staking plan. Jens Dantorp, a three-time winner on the Challenge Tour, a 36-year-old seeking a DP World Tour breakthrough. You won't find many courses on the circuit more suitable for him than this one. He was in terrible form when he teed up here in 2018. He just missed 9 cuts in a row. He finished 64th at Regnum. For his second visit this week, feeling a lot better about himself. Finished 4th last time out in the Indian Open. So he's another one that's a massive price and well capable of getting into the mix. Yeah, there's no one to fear in this lineup. It's a weak event. And I think all the value lies deep in the betting.
Well, listen, at them sort of prices, Steve, you can back them all and have shrapnel on each one. At them Absolutely. Sort of prices, you don't have to have a lot on.
That's it, Dave. That's it. And with three tournaments.
In terms of the market leaders, I mean, your old mate Wen Yi Ding is up there. You wasn't tempted to pull the trigger?
Well, you got two Chinese players in the top three in the betting. I mean, maybe the bookmakers think that they're all going to be inspired by Zhao Xingtong. There's an inspiration factor there, seeing their compatriot do the business. But yeah, I think Ao Tung Lee's too short. I think Wen Yi Ding, I'm a huge fan of Wen Yi Ding, but I think this is the first time I've looked at him and thought that the bookmakers have got his number there. And sandwiched in between those two is Jordan Smith, who is typically terrible in contention. So, very easy to start gliding down the list when you get to these eye-catching prices about, seriously realistic title contenders.
Okay, and before we move on, I've got to ask you and test the old grey matter here. Who would be the top Turkish golfer right now?
Turkish golfer?
Is there a Turkish golfer?
There's loads of them playing in this field, actually, because they've
allowed... Well, Jessica, we like the inspired in your homeland.
Yeah.
Could there be one run deep?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I haven't got a name. I mean, Davos Hooker Kerem Moglu. No, they're good at football. The Turks are good at football. They're not good at golf, with all due respect. They haven't really got a good Turkish golfer. And I'd expect, if you're scrolling up from the bottom of the leaderboard on Thursday morning, like I will be doing, the first few names you'll get to will be Turks, I'd imagine.
Okay.
But, sorry, Dave, I haven't got one for you.
Not a problem. Listen, the one didn't spring to my mind. I just thought maybe it would have sprung to your mind. Right, should we move on then, Steve? We are going to move on to the Myrtle Beach Classic, this one. Where are we and what are we doing here? We've got a signature event, obviously, on the other side. PGA. We're at the Myrtle Beach Classic as well here.
Yeah, the Dunes Golf and Beach Club. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, 7,347 yards, par 71, 3 par 5s. A Robert Trent Jones Sr. design, made its PGA Tour debut last year, was overwhelmed by long drivers. I think that'll be the case again this year. Got cloudy and calm weather, generous fairways, wide greens. It's going to be a low-scoring affair again. A field of 132 going to post.
Key attribute?
key attribute, power, murder those par fives. The fairways are wide. Yeah, you want attacking players, and I've very much got them on my team.
No need to be neat and tidy. Right, market leaders then, Mackenzie Hughes. We've got Kim, Yu, Ollison, Goddard up, Smalley, Hall, Seamus Power's up there. Wide open. Again, this one. This one is 20, the field in places. So wide open golf golf competition this week. The Myrtle Beach Classic. Surely not six here as well, Steve. Surely
no, but you're right. It's another wide open event. We have got five in this, and then we've got three for the last one. So we got 14 wow. selections. But yeah, we've got big fields. I mean, two of them are big fields. And yeah, we need 14. I did work out that the maths on that, it is only 3.88% of the runners. So I think we've got to give ourselves a chance with 3.88% of the runners. Yeah, and most of them at big prices.
Okay, yeah, and that's what, 6x5x3, 90 each way trebles as well. So big prices for small stakes, that is for sure. Right, five runners then for the Myrtle Beach Classic. Who is the main pick?
Chris Goddard, the only course winner in this field. He didn't just win last year. He obliterated the field by six shots. This lad has got the X factor. He's lively, he's aggressive, he's attacking. On certain courses, that gung-ho approach can pay off, and the Dunes is definitely one of those tracks. Rounds of 66, 64, 65, 67 last year. PGA Tour breakthrough at the age of 24. The victory wasn't a springboard to a strong 2024 at the end. He fizzled out a little bit at the end of last year. But the last couple of months, he's been showing that raw talent again. He was 16th in the Puerto Rico Open, 18th in the Houston Open, 18th in the Corrales Punta Cana, 12th in the Zurich Classic Pairs event with a weak partner. He had Quade Cummings alongside him. And then 15th in the Byron Nelson last week, despite carrying an ice-cold putter. He closed with a 64 at Craig Ranch on Sunday. His driving was spectacular. I mentioned Bryson DeChambeau's driving. Chris Gotterup's driving is up there too. And it's bombs away this week. So, I think Gotterup's going to retain the title.
Poor Quade Cummings there. You've done him a disservice. It was the only reason he didn't win that event, because he had a weak partner.
I do hope Quade Cummings is not watching this broadcast, because, I don't like to be unkind, but Quade Cummings is obviously a better golfer than me. I'd much rather be Quade Cummings than Steve Palmer. So settle down, Quade, if you are
any consolation, yeah. Right, who is the next best? Another bomber off the tee.
Kevin, you. I believe in you. He finished fourth in last year's Myrtle Beach Classic. He'd missed four of his previous five cuts on the PGA Tour before coming to the Dunes, but fell in love with this assignment. 67, 69, 66, 67. 5 months later, became a PGA Tour champion in the Sanderson Farms Championship, you might remember. He's had six top 20s on the PGA Tour since then. This lad has established himself as one of the best ball strikers on the circuit. He's an elite ball striker. If he can putt half decent, then he can contend for big titles. He closed with a 66 for 29th spot in the Byron Nelson on Sunday. Hit his ball amazingly well again. Struggled on and around the green. So, if we can get some short game improvement from Kevin Yu, then I think he's a surefire contender.
Respected in the market as well. He's right up there. I think he's third or fourth in with most of the firms. Do remember to check out the price with SBK. Right, that is two down, three to go. Who else?
Davis Riley, keeping the faith. So unfortunate last week, Dave. I don't know if you were following, but he was so honest. He got a two-shot penalty for accidentally loading some slope information onto his rangefinder. I mean, the PGA Tour are letting him use rangefinders. It's like a six-week test period at the moment. They're trying to speed up play, and they thought this might help. You're not allowed to use the slope information that factors in the elevation changes. So poor old Davis Riley's accidentally pressed the wrong button. He spotted a number, and then no one else knows he's done that. This is the integrity of these golfers. So then he goes to a rules official and says, look, I spotted a number there. I accidentally pressed the wrong button on the rangefinder. Two-shot penalty. And that was in the middle of round two. Absolute gut buster. Did really well to make the cut after that hammer blow. Ended the tournament in 45th place. Been playing great lately. You know, he, as we discussed last week, he was 21st on his Masters debut. He was 66th at the Dunes last year, but was in terrible form. This time he's arriving in much better form. If he can get control of his rangefinder, I think Davis Riley's a big runner this week.
I'm amazed they've not all got the same one. You know, surely there's some sort of sponsorship deal there with someone, a manufacturer of them, and that, you know, just take that function off of it.
Yeah, take that function off of it. Yeah, that, I mean, obviously he would have learned his lesson on that one. He's not going to make that same mistake again. I mean, yeah, it seems very harsh, two-shot penalty for that, just for spotting a number.
I could name a few golfers that I reckon wouldn't have fessed up to that. I know that much.
Well, this is it. This is it, Dave. Yeah, yeah. All credit to Davis Riley. Maybe he'd be rewarded for that integrity with a Myrtle Beach Classic victory.
What's the caddy doing? Why don't need a rangefinder? I'm not. I don't like that. That's not for me.
I don't think it's going to speed up play. Actually, I think it's a silly idea, and I think that after the 6 week test period, they realise it hasn't worked. Your caddy should be doing that, shouldn't they?
Yeah, I think so. Right. Okay, your old mate there in the team again. Who else, Steve?
Another old mate, Pearson Coody. We got lots of sweet spot regulars on show here. I fancy a PGA Tour breakthrough will come soon for Pearson Coody. He's a 25-year-old Texan. Played really well in his home state at the weekend. 66-67 for 25th spot in the Byron Nelson. He's looked really good on the Corn Ferry Tour this year. The Myrtle Beach Classic, let's be honest, is a similar grade to a Corn Ferry Tour event. I think he's going to get in the mix. He's a three-time winner on the Corn Ferry Tour. He lost a playoff on the PGA Tour last year when we were on him in the ISCO Championship. 54th at the Dunes last year. But like Riley, was arriving in terrible form, this time in much better nick.
Okay, I think we've got one more to come, haven't we?
Yes, sir. And
you're quite happy with what you've just thrown out there, that this is the equivalent to a Corn Ferry Tour event?
Well, it's slightly better, but you're not going to get the likes of Pearson Coody turning up and getting concerned, you know, getting the quivers, seeing Scotty Scheffler right. And Tiger Woods, and there's no one in this field he'll look at and think you're better than me. So I think Pearson Coody. Sorry, sir.
Of that stature.
Absolutely, yeah. And my last player has already won on the Corn Ferry Tour, and I expect him to become PGA Tour champion. He's another sweet spot regular. It's Adrien Dumont de Chasseur. Another sweet spot legend. We've been expecting him to take off on the PGA Tour, an attacking Belgian. He made a spectacular start to Corn Ferry Tour life, first and second in his first two events on the Corn Ferry Tour. PGA Tour rookie last year, didn't go to plan. He finished 40th in the Myrtle Beach Classic, but the last 6 months have been encouraging. He was third in the Bermuda Championship in November, eighth in the Qatar Masters on the DP World Tour, 18th last week on the Corn Ferry Tour. Decent warm-up for the Dunes and a massive price. He's on offer at three figures. It's bonkers.
Legend is a label that is just tossed around now, willy-nilly. Unless they win for us here, Steve, they're not legends.
Yeah, that's right? True. That's true. Yeah, he's not a legend yet, but just that name, isn't it? I mean, what a name. He must walk.
I'm already looking forward to the roundup. You know, the roundup is already.
Well, when he introduces himself to the other players, it must provide much great confidence. I mean, you look at James Bond when he used to go up to the lady, and the name's Bond, James Bond. You know, you get Adrien Dumont, and she says, the name's Adrien Dumont. And she says, Yeah, you're one up on the first tee, ain't you?
Well, I'm not sure if he does it with as much spunk as yourself, Steve, but. There we go. Right, you've got, so that's covered all five. I've completely lost the plot now. Right, so six there, five there. Should we move on?
Yes, sir.
Let's move on then. Right, great event. The Truist Championship. Signature event, this one?
Yeah, it's a signature event before a major. I mean, yeah, I think that the timings of these signature events probably need a look at, don't they? Because the Heritage straight after the Masters was a bit odd. This one just before a major is a bit odd. I completely understand Scotty Scheffler not playing.
Yeah, because, I mean, this is a signature event, but everyone's revving the engines up for next week.
Yeah, on a completely different course. Yeah, we come to this course. I mean, it's not a good warm-up for Quail Hollow.
Right, well, where are we then? We're not at Quail Hollow. Where are we?
No, we're at the Wissahickon course, Philadelphia Cricket Club, Flower Town, Pennsylvania. 7,119 yards. So really short, par 70, two par fives. This used to be the Wells Fargo Championship, of course. So we've got new sponsors. We're normally at Quail Hollow for this one, but Quail Hollow being used for the USPGA next week. So a new venue, an A.W. Tillinghast design. We've seen this course once before in the 2016 Senior Players Championship. Bernard Langer won that event with a one over par total, but it was really windy that week. We're only going to get one windy day this week, I think. But the course, no pushover. It's a short course, lots of wedges for players, but some tough approaches, well-guarded greens, undulating greens, got to find the right section. So, you know, tough approach shots. Anyone who's hitting their wedges well this week will have a good chance. A field of 72 going to post, no cut.
The Philadelphia Cricket Club.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know they play cricket in America. I think, do they call baseball cricket? I don't know. I haven't really got...
No, definitely not.
I didn't
not
have time. Three tournaments. So I haven't had a good time to look into why...
Let us know if you've ever been there, played there, bowled and over there. Let us know if you've, been to the Philadelphia cricket. Now, Rory is twice a winner here, Steve, and he's the defending champion. Is this... I'm going to hold my hands up. I've not done my research on this one. Are we at the same track that he's been... winning at?
No. He's won four times at Quail Hollow. Rory McIlroy won four times at Quail Hollow. So next week, his course credentials for next week are incredible. You know, nobody's got any course credentials this week. We're just we're assessing the dimensions of this course, and I think I've found the right type of player to be backing. And we got
so this is not an event. This is not an event that's moved around. This was always at Quail Hollow.
No, we're always, the Wells Fargo Championship has always been at Quail Hollow, apart from years where Quail Hollow has hosted a major. Like we went to Eagle Point, I remember, when Quail Hollow was hosting the USPGA that year. So we'll be back at Quail Hollow for this event next year.
I'm glad to hear it as well. You've mentioned wedge play. So what attribute are we looking at? Just approach?
Yeah. Keep it in play off the tee and then, be brilliant from, the 100-yard range. The three players I've got are pretty deadly with a wedge in their hand. And I'm avoiding the top of the market in this one. I'm delighted with all my staking plans, actually. I know 14 bets is not ideal for everyone, but... with three tournaments, it's not straightforward.
Well, listen, I'm glad you're happy with them, Steve. It's nice to know. You've mentioned approach there from 100 yards. A casual golf punter out there who maybe just likes to follow your tips blind, which is absolutely fine, but you've given that attribute. How would someone go about, I'll have a look at those sort of stats. Are we saying just jump onto the PGA website and off you go?
Yeah, they're available for free on the PGA Tour website. You go to their stats section. Well, you go to each player. If there's a player you're particularly interested in, go to that player and all their stats will be available on there. So, there are ways and means. I think each way bets on my three give you a lovely run for your money.
Marvellous. Okay, right. The market then. Rory is head of that market. Morikawa, Xander Schauffele, Justin Thomas is in there. Stellar lineup here. Ludwig Aubert, Patrick Cantlay, Jordan Spieth, Victor Hovland, Tommy Fleetwood, Russell Henley, Matsuyama. The list goes on and on and on. Three from Steve, and the main pick is...
Daniel Berger, who we've been supporting a lot lately. He got us some place money in the Heritage last time out. He tied for third place in the Heritage. He's loving life as a fully fit 32-year-old. He's had loads of injury problems in the past. Had to take some time away from the game to cure his back. He's come back to it to golf with a great perspective, and playing better than ever, I'd say. I think it's only a matter of time before he claims a fifth PGA Tour title. And this week's course seems ideal for him. It's not too long. There's no long holes this week. That is obviously Berger's main handicap, a lack of driving distance, but he's really accurate. I think accuracy on approach is the key to success this week. Every player in the field is going to be setting up wedge chances. Who's going to be the best with the wedge? I think Berger might be the man. His first three PGA Tour titles came on a par 70 track. So he's won four times. The first three were on par 70s. He's on another par 70 this week. He's never been one for overwhelming the par fives. He's a fairways and greens man. He was second in the RSM Classic at the end of last year, second in the Phoenix Open in February. I think he's going to go one better in Pennsylvania and lay down a marker for the Ryder Cup. You know, the Ryder Cup's looming large now. Yeah, this is the sort of character that would revel in the atmosphere at Bethpage Black. I think Keegan Bradley would be aware that, you know, Daniel Berger could thrive in that atmosphere. So I think he'll win this week, and I think he'll go on to play in the Ryder Cup.
Wow. Okay. Would he be a big price to be in the team at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, the strength and depth of the Americans is immense, isn't it? And players like Berger are still on the fringes, but I think he's got every chance, because, as I say, Bethpage Black in New York is going to be feisty as anything, and he's that sort of character. I remember when he played in the President's Cup, and America were winning comfortably, and he was still like an absolute psychopath. I think he's a man that Keegan Bradley, who's also got these psychopathic tendencies, will enjoy having in the team.
Okay, good stuff. And the Berger, you know, headline writer's dream, another player that I look forward to reading it in Wednesday's Racing Post as well, what sort of headline we can churn out there. Right, here's the first of three. Second,
Shane Lowry, who maybe will go up against Berger in the Ryder Cup in September. This week's venue, all about approach play, seems to be all about who can get hot with their wedges. Lowry, his approach play statistics on the PGA Tour this season are sensational. He's always been a magician with a wedge in hand. The forecast for a windy Friday, we've got one windy day this week. Yeah, that'll help Lowry. And he can handle the big occasion. We must remember this is a signature event with a massive amount of money on offer. Yeah, Big Shane has won a major. He's won a WGC. Yeah, this is not a tournament that will intimidate him. And I think he's going to contend like he always does now. You know, he's become so consistent, hasn't he? He's just a permanent leaderboard dweller. 18 top 20s worldwide from last year's USPGA onwards. 19 top 20s if you include the Zurich Classic. He tied 12th with Rory McIlroy last time out in that. Lowry, runner-up in the Pebble Beach Pro-Am in February. Signature event. Short course, lots of wedges that week as well. He had a great Florida swing. He was up with the pace in the Masters. You know, don't be fooled by his Masters result. You know, he was up with the pace for three rounds. Had a really bad Sunday. There was lots going on that day. His mate Rory's going for the Grand Slam. He was, he admitted when he was playing, he was looking how Rory was getting on. So I would just easily forgive that crazy Sunday at Augusta. He bounced back with 18th place in the Heritage the week after, which I thought was a decent effort in the circumstances. He's had a much needed week off last week. I think he's going to fall in love with this course.
Always good for an each way play, Shane Lowry. Solid.
Solid. Solid as a rock.
How long? We're not looking at that, but how long is he off the tee, off the top of your head, Steve? He's
not particularly long, but look at his approach play stats this season. His approach play has been magnificent. And, he's just oozing control on approach, putting okay, scrambling, you can always be relied upon. I think Shane Lowry will arrive at this course and see a big opportunity here. And I think he'll go close to getting a win, because he's had all these consistent results, but not enough silverware. Very eager to get some trophies in his big hands. And
the reason why I asked is surely you'd see this course as a bit of a leveler, right? You're thinking, well,
yeah,
you're kind of on my patch now.
It is a leveler, yeah. The second shot's be coming from the same spot. It's made for Big Shane. It's made for Big Shane. Rory's had all his fun. Now it's time for Shane to have some fun.
Okay, right. Who is the third selection and the third pick?
Sepp Straka. Another player well suited to this assignment. Another player who's been peppering pins with his approaches this season. His third PGA Tour title came in January at the American Express. He was seventh in that Pebble Beach Pro-Am I mentioned, despite being ill over the weekend. Fifth at Bay Hill, 14th at Sawgrass, relentlessly on leaderboards. 13th in the Heritage last time out, a pair of weekend 67s in the Heritage. 12th in the Zurich Classic last month, despite a weak partner. I've already upset Quade Cummings. I'm going to upset Bryce Garnett now. So Straka finishes 12th with Bryce Garnett. That's a good effort. The only bad round that Straka has produced lately was round one at the Masters. You know, he got off to a horror start at the Masters. But the following day, like from virtually last place, comes roaring up and made six birdies in round two to get above the cut line and then triple bogey the 18th hole. So, yeah, a crazy Masters. But Augusta, long forgotten now. He's fourth in the FedEx Cup standings. He's well on course for the most lucrative season of his career. He'll realise how important the Truist is for him. His bank manager is going to be very happy with him at the end of this year, I'd suspect. You know, wedge play this season, Strecker's wedge play has been awesome. So, I love these three. Yeah, you've got loads of market leaders, and you get to my three in the mid-division there. I think they're going to be floating around the leaderboard all week.
Accuracy and approach play, I think, this week. Right, if you want to follow Steve in, our friends at SBK, this is the tournament this week. I'm sure you'd have picked up the running theme since their sponsorship of this show. 25% boosted winnings on this event. So if you manage to find the winner of the Truist Championship, you get a 25% bonus on top. So winnings boosted there exclusively from SBK. So jump onto the website. BetSBK is the site. Their terms and conditions apply. Right, we have reached the tipping roundup. I see you've just lubricated there, Steve. There's a mouthful coming up, right? Before we go on to that, the star-studded field here for the Truist, we've got to mention, Rory, you've kind of already alluded to the fact that perhaps the course is not set up for him.
Well, it doesn't seem to matter as much as it used to. I mean, let's not forget, he won at Pebble Beach the other day. Pebble Beach is a good example of a course that doesn't suit Rory McIlroy. So he can win anywhere. We obviously respect him, but you'd much rather back him at courses with, you know, par 72s with four par 5s. I don't think this is the right time to be chunking on McIlroy. I think he'll see it himself as a gentle loosener for next week. You know, he's so focused on next week. That I've got no urge to play the favourite.
What about your mate Zander?
Zander is the most tempting of the market leaders, I'd say. I'm glad you brought him up because his approach play this season has been fantastic. I mean, he's made this return from injury, had the rib problems. His driving has been wild. His putter hasn't really heated up like it did last year. But his approach play has been amazing, and I think that's the key this week. So, yeah, I respect Xander Schauffele of all those market leaders. I mean, we must mention all the caddy drama that's going on with the players around Schauffele. Colin Morikawa is second in the betting. Colin Morikawa has just recruited a new caddy. He'd been with the same caddy his entire life. His entire professional
out
career.
Out the womb.
Absolutely. He was handed a caddy straight out of the womb. And last week he made the decision to sack that caddy, which is pretty remarkable timing when you consider, obviously they won the two majors together, but they were so close to, they played really well this year and they were so close to winning at Bay Hill, weren't they? If Russell Henley hadn't chipped in from off the green, they probably would have won at Bay Hill, a signature event. Would he have sacked his caddy? So I think it seems like a panic button has been struck there by Colin Morikawa, just to change things up, try and end this victory drought. And he's got Joe Greiner. Sorry, it took me a while to get to the key information. He's recruited Joe Greiner, who was on the bag for Justin Thomas the other day when he won the Heritage, you must remember. So Joe Greiner, you know, left Max Homer, went to Justin Thomas while Justin Thomas's caddy, Matt Minister, was injured, and then won with Justin Thomas. And, you know, there were lots of talk of whether Justin Thomas was going to recruit him. Colin Morikawa's come in and got him. So they're settling as a unit. I think Morikawa and Greiner need time to settle. Justin Thomas probably going to go back to Matt Minister this week if he's fit again. But if he's not fit again, he's going to have another new caddy. So all that caddy drama puts me off those two, even though they are probably the two best approach players on the tour. And I'm banging on about how approach play is very important this week. So respect for them, but I just need the caddy situation to settle down a bit.
And we wouldn't be surprised if we saw another bowl showing from Mr. Spieth this week, either, would we?
Well, I mean, it's exciting times for Mr. Spieth. Will he win the USPGA next week, complete the career Grand Slam? I don't think Quail Hollow is a perfect fit for him. So, I don't think he'd be in my staking plan next week. But, yeah, he's a very entertaining player, isn't he? So, long live Jordan Spieth.
Okay, right. So that is next week, Steve. What's the Racing Post output and coverage going to look like? You're going to be a busy boy.
I'm always a busy boy, Dave. Yeah, I'm always a busy boy. I'm always staying lubricated, and I'll give you the 14 tips now.
Okay, you're going to keep us in suspense. So we don't know what the coverage is going to look like next week. No, you're going to do a player-by-player guide and all that kind of thing,
I'll give
you
everything you can possibly need. I'm taking each week as it comes, to be honest, Dave. Punters should do the same. We need to build our pot for the USPGA, and we're going to do that this week. And then we can attack the second major of the year next year. Next week. We've got a very busy schedule. We've got USPGA, US Open, Open. But I want to focus on the Truest, which is something that Rory McIlroy probably isn't, and various others aren't. But Daniel Berger will be.
Okay, Steve's going to keep us in suspense for what awaits next week in that case. Right, let's do a tipping roundup then. We will start with the Turkish Open.
John Parry, Jaden Schaper, Kazuma Kabori, Martin Kuvre, Marcus Kinholt, and Jens Dantorp.
Okay, the Myrtle Beach Classic.
Chris Goddard, Kevin Yu, Davis Riley, Pearson Coody, Adrien Dumont de Chasseur. The name's Dumont de Chasseur. Adrien Dumont de Chasseur.
He's done him. Middle stump out of the ground. Steve's gone. Right. And the Truest Championship.
Daniel Berger, Shane Lowry, Sepp Straka.
Okay. We will, of course, be back next week to preview the PGA and all bells and whistles on it from the Racing Post next week as well. What you got lined up for the rest of the week, Steve?
Well, it's my son's birthday on Monday. Got him a new driver, got him a new 5-iron. He wants some more golf clubs. He's banging to his golf. But I also got him tickets to see Luke Littler on Saturday night. So Luke Littler's doing an exhibition on Saturday night in Bournemouth. So very much looking forward to seeing the nuke in action. Maybe I can discuss my plans to have the Cyclone Nuke double on regular occasion. So yeah, it'd be lovely to meet Luke Littler. I don't know whether
are you going to wear your please wear it?
Oh, I'll wear my outfit. Yeah, yeah. I won't be the only.
Yeah, one. You're going to wear it. Yeah,
yeah. I'll wear my outfit. yeah, the nuke shirt will be on. My biggest concern about Saturday is be the latest night Tommy Tiger's ever had in his life. You know, so yeah, it's a big test. He needs to really.
How old is he?
He's 5. Well, he'd be 6 on Monday. We're going on Saturday, so. Yeah, he really needs to take it easy during the day. He finds it very hard to take it easy. But he's not going to survive until 11 p.m. on Saturday night otherwise. So, yeah, I've got an interesting weekend of me.
Yeah, well, there'll be people out there, questionable parenting, that's for sure. Yeah, you know, keeping your youngsters up at that sort of age. It'd be all right. He can sleep on the way home. He'll be fine, don't worry.
Well, absolutely. And, yeah, to see the world's greatest sportsman, you don't often get the world's greatest sportsman coming this close to Weymouth. So I think it's a big opportunity that can't be missed.
Is there going to be an opportunity for you to maybe like win a leg against the nuke, anything like that?
I don't know. I remember I went to a Michael van Gerwen exhibition many moons ago and got into a bidding war with someone else on there's an auction for having a leg with Michael van Gerwen. And I was in this enormous bidding war and this lady just seemed to have like bottomless pockets. She just kept raising. Like it got down to two very quickly, me against her. And she just kept blasting me away. I think they had a table of 10 that were all just. So she was getting up to us like a bag of sand and I couldn't quite get there. I didn't have enough on me. So, yeah, I missed out on playing Michael van Gerwen. Yeah, I don't know whether I'll get involved in the auction for Luke Littler.
One of the greatest things I've ever seen in my time was many years ago, a very good friend of mine is a cousin of our good friend, Wayne Mardle. And he did an exhibition near to me and straight off the bat, I think it was double 10. He spat it in and it was just, you know, I've seen him do it loads of times, but it was just out of the blue. He said, I'll spit this one in. Bang, straight in. Incredible.
It's an amazing ability, isn't it, to spit targets. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've never tried it. I don't think it's worth me trying. Can you do it?
No.
No.
But it was incredible. Absolutely incredible. But there you go.
Yeah, yeah, I'll let you know if Luke Littler does any spitting on Saturday night.
Okay, right, we look forward to that. We look forward as well to next week. Major action. Steve, as ever, it's been an absolute pleasure for your time and expertise. You out there as well, do remember to get involved in the Racing Post YouTube channel. Loads coming up. We've got you covered, whether you like your football, your horse racing, your dog racing, content all week, every day. So make sure you like, comment and subscribe. Gamble responsibly and we'll see you next time.